This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Cincinnati is set to join the list of dozens of cities across the country that say they are sanctuary cities. Mayor John Cranley made the sanctuary city declaration on Monday, and City Council is voting on a resolution about it this afternoon. And joining us to discuss what, if any, changes will take place in city policies regarding undocumented immigrants and how Cincinnati's sanctuary city status may affect federal funding are NKU Chase College of Law professor Ken Katkin and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Howard, this afternoon, City Council is voting on this resolution. Tell us about that.
Right now, they're starting a public comment section. 2 o'clock, the City Council meeting will convene. There's going to be a resolution introduced by Councilmember Wendell Young, a Democrat, and it's going to declare officially Cincinnati a sanctuary city. It is going to pass, and it's going to pass with 6 votes. Two Republicans on council, Charlie Winburn and Amy Murray, have said they're not going to vote for it. Christopher Smitherman, who is an independent on council, has said that he is going to abstain. And he said his objection to this is that it's not within the city council's purview to be doing, you know, to get involved in these kind of national issues when we're looking at potential city budget holes that need to be filled. So he's just going to abstain. So it's going to be like a 6-2-1 vote.
So I think we need to define, too, what it means to be a sanctuary city, because that's key to this whole discussion. And what exactly does it mean, Ken? I mean, are there any definite standards for being a sanctuary city?
No, I mean, to some extent, a sanctuary city is any place that calls itself a sanctuary city or any place that someone else calls a sanctuary city. But I did look up, because Dayton already does have an ordinance like this, the key elements of their ordinance. And actually, they don't use the word sanctuary city there. They just use
Welcome Dayton.
Right. But the Welcome Dayton ordinance says Dayton is immigrant friendly. Dayton will emphasize immigration status checks limited to people suspected of serious crime only, and will focus enforcement efforts on serious violent crime and not on federal immigration law, and that officers will receive training in cross-cultural competency. So I think that's sort of the essence of what people are talking about when they talk about sanctuary city.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Cincinnati, they are saying, and this has been the case, this is not new. It's been the case since March of 2015 that the Cincinnati Police Department, when they make stops, traffic stops, say, for example, they are not checking into the immigration status of the people they're stopping. In other words, they're not enforcing federal immigration laws. Now, on the other hand, They're saying they're not interfering with federal immigration officials in enforcing federal laws. But the Cincinnati Police Department for the last 2 years has not participated in any enforcement of immigration laws.
Right. And actually, that's fairly standard. It's not
right.
It's not ordinary for police to enforce immigration laws.
Right, yeah. Sure.
Okay, so nothing really new from that respect as far as Cincinnati Police are concerned. They've already been doing this for a couple of years, and right. Like you were saying, Howard, they're also not saying that they'll interfere
right.
with federal authorities doing their work.
And Cranley came into office not saying that this was going to be an immigrant friendly city, and there have been programs that have been set up by the Chamber of Commerce, the COMPAS program, which helps new immigrants kind of integrate into the community.
And they help them regardless of whether they're documented or undocumented. So.
And they set up an identification card system that with identification cards that are issued by the Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition just to aid people who have come to this country in identifying themselves when they're looking for benefits and that kind of thing.
We were talking about the vote at City Hall today on sanctuary city status. Mm-hmm. Big crowd at City Hall already for that. Yeah. And they have a lot of people signed up for the comments section of the meeting. And Jay Hanselman just tweeted that the first speaker at the open comments session called this idea treason. So the emotions are running pretty high around this whole whole debate.
Well, yeah, there were yesterday, the state treasurer, Josh Mandel, came to Cincinnati, and he held a press conference with city councilman Charlie Winburn, a Republican, and Chris Monzel, the county commissioner, who's also a Republican. There were about 50 of their supporters in the room, and they were denouncing this sanctuary city thing. Saying, you know, that basically that the city doesn't have the right to pick and choose what laws it enforces, what federal laws it enforces.
But, of course, cities do have the right to pick and choose what federal laws
they
enforce.
Even with the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution?
Right. What the Supremacy Clause means is that federal law is in effect everywhere. But it doesn't ordinarily mean that state and local governments have a necessary role in enforcing it. It just means that the federal government can enforce it everywhere, right? So federal authorities can enforce federal law in Cincinnati,
right,
no matter whether we call it a sanctuary city or not. But our own city government doesn't have a role in enforcing most federal laws.
Mm-hmm. Why Howard, is Mayor Cranley pushing this right now? Why did this come up at this point?
Well, I think the sanctuary city thing. It's a new twist to it. Like I said, I mean, this policy has been in effect for a few years. It's not something that's new. He came out and called it, said, you know, we are now officially a sanctuary city. He is in a reelection campaign. One of his opponents was in the process of putting together a resolution to declare the city a sanctuary city. And I think he basically got out ahead of it. Now, Monday at his press conference where he made this announcement, it was a room full of folks from every religious background, every national background that's represented in Cincinnati that I could tell were there. And they were just absolutely jubilant about this. And backed him, 100%. You have to remember, this is a very Democratic city. We've got three Democrats running for mayor right now. And you really don't have to worry about alienating Republicans because there aren't that many Republican voters in the city of Cincinnati anymore. They're all out in the suburbs. So, this is there was a political consideration to this.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about Josh Mandel, Ohio Treasurer Josh
Mandel.
Who was
running for the U.S. Senate against Sherrod Brown.
Mm-hmm. City Council Member Charlie Winburn also has come out in opposition to this, and Hamilton County Commissioner Chris Monzel. In fact, they all held a press conference the other day. What are some of their reasons for opposing this? What are they saying?
Well, they're talking about the threat from the Trump administration that places that call themselves sanctuary cities, and there are hundreds, literally, around the country.
I think I read 300 is the figure I saw.
Yeah, and could end up losing federal funding for local projects. John Cranley and Todd Portune, the Democratic County Commissioner, who is a lawyer, as is John Cranley, both look at that and say, no, that's just not possible. That would be unconstitutional, and we could fight that in court and win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. To explain why, first I want to emphasize what I was saying before. This radio station, for instance, is regulated by the FCC, but if you violated an FCC regulation, you would not expect the Cincinnati police to show up here to enforce it, right? So it's normally federal authorities that enforce federal laws and federal regulations. Normally, local police don't enforce federal laws and federal regulations. They can. They have the option to help with that, but it's always normally at the option of the local authorities. Now, in terms of the constitutional issues, there's two different kinds of constitutional issues at play here. There are federalism issues, which deal with the relationship between the federal government and local governments. There are also separation of powers issues, which deal with the relationship between the president and the statutes that Congress has enacted, right? And so here, I think it's actually, although a lot of people have been focusing on the federalism issues, I think it's really the separation of powers issues that are even more important here, because Congress has passed a variety of laws where the city has the ability to participate in different kinds of federal programs, to get federal funds to participate in those programs if they meet certain criteria. And so if the president says, well, I'm not going to release funds to you that you're entitled to under the statutes that Congress has actually enacted, then he would be in violation of federal law. And there's a great case on that in the Supreme Court from 1996 called Clinton versus New York. It happened. You may remember Congress actually tried to pass a line item veto act in 1996, and they tried to give President Clinton just the discretion, when they actually wanted to give it to him, to not release certain funds that they'd appropriated, right? So Congress would say, we want to pass a budget, and after we've passed this budget and you've signed it into law, if there's things on there you don't like, just don't release the funds. And the court found that that was unconstitutional, because that would, even though in that case Congress actually was trying to authorize the president not to release funds that had been authorized, the court said, well, but Congress already enacted the release of those funds into the budget. So the entities that are entitled to receive those funds have a right under law to receive those funds, and the president can't change that, right? So I think it's a very key precedent here, that the president can't just decide not to release funds, that if there's a statute out there and if entities out there are entitled under the statute to collect the funds, then courts will enforce that. The other issue you hear about is the federalism issue, and this is, it comes from a few cases, such as the there was an issue with the Brady Act, initially the Handgun Control Act, where that act required local sheriffs to run background checks on people who wanted to buy handguns. And there were places in the country where sheriffs said, we don't want to run background checks on people who want to buy handguns. And the court held in that case that although federal law could require the background checks, it couldn't require local authorities to do them. That if either the federal government would have to do the background checks, or the gun dealers themselves could be regulated, they'd have to do the background checks. But that local law enforcement apparatus is controlled by local governments and is not a branch of the federal government.
Howard, you were describing the sanctuary city as a state of mind.
Yeah.
And Ken, I'm wondering how much of that, you know, keeping it kind of in non-legal terms,
right,
how much of that is a specific strategy just to stay out of trouble?
Yeah. You know? I mean, I think the sanctuary city movement is older than the new executive order from President Trump, so it wasn't all about staying out of trouble. But But I think you're saying, is it a strategy now to avoid
being challenged by the Department of Justice under the new Attorney General, or is it a way of keeping yourself out of legal hot water?
For the city, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know what the new attorney general is going to do, and he might actually try to make some trouble for some cities. But I'm more confident that the court would rule in favor of the cities than I am that the attorney general won't actually file these suits, right? Yeah. I mean, I think he might file suits.
Yeah.
And one of the things that these Republicans who held the press conference yesterday were talking about, they started talking about specific infrastructure projects in Cincinnati, the Bren Spence Bridge, the Western Hills Viaduct, you know, which needs a whole lot of money, and that the city was somehow putting federal funding for that in jeopardy by becoming a sanctuary city. Well, there is no money to be put in jeopardy at this point.
Right.
I mean, it's not been appropriated, you know. We're on lists.
And even if the Trump administration does follow through and start threatening to pull federal funding, Ken, what you're saying is it's not constitutional, and if they try to do it, it's probably going to end up in
it'll be in court.
Yeah, it'll end up in court
system.
Minutes.
And the court would rule in favor of the city if it's money that's already been appropriated. Now, I think the one part of what the Trump administration is saying that has some real teeth is that if Congress agrees with him, then going forward, Congress could take account of this when they make new funding decisions.
Sure. Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
So if Congress decides, well, Cincinnati's a sanctuary sanctuary city, and therefore we were thinking of appropriating money for the Brent Spence Bridge, but now we won't. Congress does have that prerogative,
yes.
Right? But I'm really only talking about—
But that's
about
a completely different branch of government, a completely different avenue.
Yeah. They have the power of the purse.
They have the power of the purse. The president does not.
Right. Yes. That's what I'm saying to you.
Is this Howard, is the sanctuary city issue getting more press because of Trump's order on inauguration that came out Friday, and this is all being folded together?
Oh,
because,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean that's, you know, it's all stemming from the real national uproar that took place on Friday and over the weekend with the marches, you know, including in Cincinnati and places all over the country, the reaction to this. It's, you know, the polling that's out there shows that this was Trump's order on Friday is unpopular.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And you were telling earlier, Howard, about how the Cincinnati Police Department since 2015 has not been not been asking people about their immigration status, and
right.
They've not been actively pursuing that aspect of federal law. Now, does that differ from what the Sheriff's Department has said?
Well,
the Hamilton County Sheriff, I think, has taken a different stance, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a slightly different stance. Yeah, I mean, they will be, you know, when they've got prisoners in the Hamilton County Justice Center, you know, they can, if the federal government wants them to inquire about immigration status, apparently they're going to.
Yeah, and since they police are processing all their prisoners through, when they bring somebody in, they process them through the Justice Center.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where does this go from here? Any thoughts on that, Ken?
If the city passes the ordinance in an hour or so, I don't really know. I mean, the president's order says that the attorney general, in his discretion and to the extent consistent with the law, the attorney general should ensure that the sanctuary cities are not eligible to receive federal grants except as deemed necessary for law enforcement purposes. So it's possible that the new attorney general would issue some kind of decree saying that Cincinnati shouldn't receive federal grants anymore. Now, how that would play out, you know, what kind of grants we're talking about, what wouldn't be received here, I don't know. But if money didn't flow, there would be a lawsuit. And I do believe that it would be a fairly easy case for the city to win.
Yeah, one of the ones that they're most concerned about is a community development block grant program, you know, which is very important to Cincinnati neighborhoods, neighborhood projects and that sort of thing. That's one of the things that they're most concerned about. If that spigot were turned off, it would have definitely have an impact on the city.
Yeah. So again, Howard, you fully expect that the resolution is going to be passed by council?
Oh yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, it's been, you know, it's pretty clear that six of the members of the council have said they're going to support this.
Yeah. And again, you were talking earlier about how Cranley was getting out in front of this as an issue.
Yeah.
And of course, I think you brought up the fact that the Trump immigration executive order that was put out also fired this up. So in some respects, he's being defiant.
Yeah, Trump, well, he is being defiant, and he's being defiant in a city that is heavily Democratic. You have to remember, if you look back to November, Hillary Clinton obviously lost this election. She lost Ohio, but within the city of Cincinnati, she beat Donald Trump 4-1. That's quite a margin. So this is a very Democratic city, and he is on May 2nd going to be in a primary election for mayor with two other Democrats, and he wants to be on the right side of this issue.
And both of you agree, as far as the federal funding issue goes, that you don't see any that ever becoming a problem.
You know, I wouldn't put it past the a new attorney general to try something.
But you don't think it's going to go anywhere?
No, I think a court will rule in favor of the city. But I do think it might happen.
But
it could be a trial.
Yeah, I mean, it could be tied up in court for, you know, who knows how long.
Yeah.
Well, Ken and Howard, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely.
NKU Chase College of Law Professor Ken Katkin and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. So Jay is saying, Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Dave Shermer was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Marriages end for many reasons, from infidelity to a lack of communication. Whatever the cause, a divorce can be emotionally and financially draining. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss steps couples can take to lessen the pain, cost, and confusion of divorce. And we'll review this year's Super Bowl ads. Almost 18% of adults say the commercials are the most important part of Super Bowl Sunday. That's Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.